And if you have the book, we've been, the past 4 weeks, we've been learning and discussing the meaning of denying self. Chapter 1, we talked about what is self-denial. And the book tells us that whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It stated that self-denial is one of the basic attributes of Christianity. Yet it is one of the most difficult to attain. One reason for that is because it requires great strength of will. Chapter 2, we discuss about God demands self-denial. It stated that self-denial is not just a suggestion for a better life. It is a command of the Lord. The requirement for self-denial is found in more texts than we may think on the surface. Self-denial is affirmed on nearly every page of the Bible. Chapter 3, we discuss putting God's will first. He said in the previous lessons, we saw that God demands self-denial. Jesus said that one must deny himself to be his follower. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Part of the principle of self-denial is learning to put God's will first. Chapter 4 tells us putting God's will first. In part 1 of this study, we saw that man must learn to suppress his own will and yield to the will of God. That is part of denying self. Those who do not obey God, whether the alien who refuses to be baptized or the child of God who refuses to live right, have not denied themselves. And this morning's lesson, we are going to be talking about meekness. We want to define what meekness is all about. And I'm going to we also look at Bible verses that talks about meekness. And we also look at some of the things that has to do with meekness. And if you have this book, we are going to be using this book and including some of the materials that I was able to print online. So the question is this, what is meekness? If I should ask you this morning to define for me what meekness is all about, what does it mean to you? We will also look at it from the biblical standpoint when we talk about meekness. I don't believe everyone here today has the purpose of coming up here. And that purpose is to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do so according to God's revealed words. We know that there is a God. And the Bible tells us that. And we can also know that there is a God based on the things that we see. And some of the things that we do not see. So if we know that there is a God, then the question is this. How does that God wants to be known? How does that God wants to be worshipped? And these are important and fundamental questions when it comes to spirituality. And I do believe last week I talked about the fact that when you want to bake your favorite cake, you'll have a recipe. And whoever designed this building has a design, the amount of rooms and the amount of pews and the number of windows. So we know that there is a great designer who designed the world that we live in. And he has provided us all things which pertains to life and godliness physical things to sustain us, air that we breathe in, the food that we consume, and the animals. Those are things that tells us that there is a God. And the Bible tells us that those who think that there is no God, he classified them as fools. I do not call them fools, but the Bible tells us that they are fools. We live in a world today that people simply do not care about who God is. They have put God on the back burner. But I applaud you, brothers and sisters in Christ, because you have obeyed that form of doctrine which is able to save your soul. And I do believe if we do all that God has asked us to do, he will grant us a place to be with him. And so it is very, very important that we put everything that we do in this life, that God should be the number one priority. And I think I also mentioned last week that tomorrow is never guaranteed. And we saw in the book of James that life is like a vapor, which appears for a moment, and the next minute it disappears. And we can see that in the lives of those of our family or friends that we hold so dear. They are with us today, and tomorrow they are gone. But I do believe it is very, very important that we get all that we can in this life. I'm not going to be able to teach everything that you need to know as a child of God, but that is up to you to study. As Paul said in Timothy, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And what is meekness? Meekness, according to some of the things I was able to gather, he said is the willingness to suffer injury or insult rather than be the one to inflict those insults on others. In other words, is the willingness to suffer injury or insult rather than be the one to inflict those insults on others. It produces a mildness in our demeanor and humility in our spirit. Meekness does not grasp for ways to overpower others or seek to be overbearing. There is a gentle, somewhat submissive quality to a person who is meek. What does meekness mean to you? In this part of our study, we will focus on meekness as it is a part of the self-denial that Jesus demands in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Meekness is not easily defined. To say the least, one cannot cite a synonym that fully conveys the idea. To some, meekness is synonymous with weakness. Others may think that meekness is a quality over which we have to control. To them, we either have it or we don't. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pose a question to you this morning. What does meekness mean to you? Can somebody tell me, when we talk about meekness, what does it mean to you? Yes, sir?
Gentleness is one of the words that comes to mind. But I think it talks about your personal spirit, how you're willing to let others have the forefront, how you don't have to be weak in yourself, but sometimes the real strength in somebody is the willingness to let someone else have the forefront.
Absolutely. Anyone else? Yes, sir?
The strength of character. One of my favorite football players of all time is Deacon Jones. He was a vicious, violent man on the football field. And when he played on the defensive line, it was called the fearsome foursome because they were all physical, violent men on the football field. But off the field, they were completely different. Rosie Greer was a Baptist preacher and was known for crocheting. Merlin Olsen was for a long time spokesman for FTD florist commercials and was an actor on Little House on the Prairie. Deacon Jones, after he retired, spent a lot of time in charitable work with children, with Boys and Girls Clubs and other things. There's a commercial running right now on J.C. Watt, who was a very violent man on the football field, but he's got a foundation where he works with children. And you look at many of these athletes that are involved in violent sports and off the field, most of their time they have foundations that work with children and work with families. And that's really a good image of meekness on their job. They're violent men, that off the field, they're meek, they're mild, they're doing charitable work, family work. And when the time comes, that, you know, that's not who they are, that's just part of their job. And it's part of their control and self-control. When we see others that have no self-control, off the field, they're violent men. There's also many that are involved in domestic violence and abuse off the field. So it's a strength of character.
Yes.
You have the strength to control your emotions, control your feelings, and control your character.
Okay.
And it's focused for us, it's focused towards God and towards service to God.
Thank you. That is well said. The question is this: does God demands meekness from us? And why is that the case?
Of course, when you said that, I think, you know, we always talk, you know, just plant the seed and let God, you know, make the growth. And so, you know, you can't beat people over the head with the gospel. You can't just, you know, thump them and keep thumping them and, you know, trying to get, you know, plant the seed of the gospel. And that's meekness. It's just like, you know, tell them, what the gospel has done for you personally, and then leave it in God's hands. You know, you just be meek, and that will attract more people to you than being loud and outspoken and trying to, you know, always have your way and get your word in and make it their own.
That is a good point. I think sometimes we tend to turn people off. And the reason is this: it's not that people are not interested. It's just the way we present the gospel to them. Why God demands us to be firm in our beliefs, where we stand. I'm not saying we need to compromise our beliefs. I'm not saying there are basic fundamental, just a minute. There are basic fundamental principles that are set in the Bible. God's plan of salvation is not going to change. What God demands for man to do to be saved is not going to change. But there are ways that we can present those things to people that will attract them. And that is where meekness comes into play. When it comes to Noah, God told Noah exactly what to do, and Noah followed that to the T. When it comes to the plan of salvation, those things are said. But I do believe the way we present it to people can become a stumbling block. And that is where the question of meekness comes in. I'll get you for in a second. And it tells us that God demands that we be meek. The Bible tells us the meek of the earth were told to seek God. Zephaniah 2 verse 3, in contrast to the outward adorning, Peter says that a woman should wear the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. This is for our sisters. He said, the woman should wear the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. For example, if you want somebody to do something for you, what is the best way to get them to do something for you? Is it by being loud? Is my way or the highway? No. I think you can get a lot of things done. If you ask somebody, could you please? I work in the healthcare field. People will always come to your room every time they give you a glass of water and you say thank you. And this is a secret. When you are a patient in the hospital and you do not appreciate everything that they do for you, every time they bring you a glass of water, or they come, they do something for you, always say thank you. If you do not, guess what they are going to say? They talk to each other, they say, don't go to that room. They say, that patient, he or she is mean, and very, very demanding, does not appreciate anything. In most cases, when you ring the bell, instead of somebody running to come in there to help you, guess what? It might take 30, 40 minutes. So there's nothing like being meek in everything that you do. Always be thankful. Are you driving sometimes through the highways and you stop and let somebody go by? What do you see sometimes? Some of them will do what? Wave their hand to appreciate what for letting them go by. And some of them, they do not care. What does that do to you? Makes you feel some kind of way. Yes, sir? You forgot? Okay. And so God demands us to be meek in everything that we do. The people that we come across, we got to let the Spirit of Christ shine. How do we relate to one another when it comes to meekness? Do we tell our spouse, honey, thank you for cooking today. Thank you for cleaning the kitchen. Thank you for doing this. In most cases, we do not. We take a lot of these things for granted. But I do believe when we become a child of God, there has to be a difference in terms of how we relate to one another, in terms of what God demands when it comes to meekness. We should always be appreciative of everything that people do for us. God demands us to be different. He said we are in this world, but we are not of what? Of this world. There has to be a change in the heart and minds of a child of God. If there's no change, if the word of God or the word of Christ is not in your heart, then the question is this, why is that the case? We've defined what meekness is all about. Since God commands meekness, it must not involve weakness. When we talk meekness, I think my brother said it does not involve weakness. It's not that you are weak. When you give up your seat for someone else to, it's not that you are weak. When you allow people to be ahead of you, it's not that you are weak. When you are quiet and listen before you speak, it's not that you are weak. It shows you are growing as a child of God. You are going to be tested in every sense of the word in this life. God is building you up, a vessel that he can use. And so that vessel, you must allow God to mold you the way he wants to mold you. Your heart must be right. You must not be weak, but at the same time, you must be meek and be kind and be gentle. We are going to see some passages in the Bible that demands meekness. It says, since God demands meekness, it must not involve weakness. Furthermore, that suggests that we have control over whether or not we are meek. So this is a thing of control. You can control to be weak, or you can control to be mean. When you are mean, people don't want to be around you. But when you are kind and you are meek, you are attracted to people. You know, it's so easy nowadays for us to talk about football, about the Braves, about the Falcons, about the Georgia Bulldogs. It's so easy. But the question is why is it so difficult for us to present the gospel to others? Because it's difficult. Because the word of God and Christ has not sunk deep in your heart. I went to work this morning. They know every Sunday morning I'm going to leave. When the time comes, I'm not going to stay. So when the time comes, I'm going to leave. They already know that. Because they now know my pattern. They now know what is ahead. So it is important for us as Christians to be meek in everything that we do. But in most cases, we are not meek to one another. God demands us to be meek. God demands us to treat our spouse, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ with meekness. He said, the idea of meekness cannot be expressed with one synonym. There are several ideas involved, W.E. Vine said. The meaning of pared is not readily expressed in English. For the terms meekness, mildness, commonly used, suggest weakness, I can't even pronounce this word, to a greater or lesser extent. It is difficult to have a rendering less open to objection than meekness. Gentleness has been suggested. Then he defined what defines the word translated meekness as gentleness, mildness. Vine says it is that temper or spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good and therefore without dispute or resisting. It is closely linked with the word humility and follows directly upon it. This meekness, however, being first of all a meekness before God, is also such in the face of men, even of evil men, out of a sense that these, with the insults and injuries which they may inflict, are permitted and employed by him for the chastening and purifying of his elect. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, it is associated with self-control. So in other words, when we talk about meekness, what are we talking about? Self-control. And what is self-control to you? What does it mean when we self-control? God demands self-control in everything we do in this life. Self-control in terms of food. Self-control in terms of water. Do you know if you drink too much water, guess what is going to happen? It can kill you. If you eat too much, it can kill you. So God demands self-control in everything that we do in this life. So if we do not have self-control, we are in deep trouble. Was Jesus Christ self-controlled? How do we know that Jesus Christ was self-controlled?
He's described as meek in 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
That is correct. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead. He had all power, all wisdom, and all knowledge. When he was being put to death, did he exercise self-control? What did Jesus say? He said, I can call what?
10,000 angels.
And do what? Huh? And make sure a short work of everyone is. But he said what? He subjected himself to death. That is the crown of what? Self-control. So Jesus Christ has the ability to destroy the whole world, but he subjected himself to death to show us what self-control is all about. I do believe in everything we do in this life, we need self-control. It is a learning process. I've always said that. You have to grow at it. You have to teach yourself. You have to be disciplined. But in most cases, we lack self-discipline. When we lack self-discipline, then we lack self-control. So you want to grow as a child of God, to be closer to God. If your prayer life is not where it needs to be, then you have to learn to pray more. You have to learn to be self-disciplined. And sometimes when I have the opportunity to go out to eat, and before I leave the house, I say to myself, I'm not going to eat any dessert today. I don't care how good it is. And I follow through it, that I'm not going to eat any dessert. So in everything that we do as a child of God, I do believe we need to be self-controlled. We need to practice self-discipline. We need to esteem others better than ourselves. We need to treat others with meekness and gentleness. And always be appreciative of what people do for you. I do believe it's going to get you a long way. And so sometimes in my field and at night, the nurse will send me a message. They're demanding something. So when they are demanding something, it's not that I can't give it to them, but at some time I want to teach them a lesson. They say, "Will you ask something?" I said, "No, the patient does not need it." I said, "This is the reason why I don't think they don't need it." And sometimes, you know, it's not that I'm being mean. They send you stuff, you know, and sometimes I want to teach a lesson. I just order a bunch of stuff. And so I don't hear from them again in the middle of the night. So what am I trying to say? We need to be careful how we relate to one another, how we treat one another. If you esteem your brothers and your sisters better than yourselves, you are willing to do anything for your brother and sister. And I've always said this, and I believe it. I try to practice it to the best of my ability. I do not own anything in this life. Whatever I have belongs to you also. And so if a brother is here or sister that needs something, we all should rally together to make sure that the brother is not homeless or that the brother does not lack food. That is the whole essence of Christianity. And that is what we saw in the book of Acts. When all the brothers and sisters, what did they do? They sold everything that they had and brought it to the apostles' feet. I think we all here have been purchased with a price, and that is the blood of Christ. I always say this, God did not die for your height, your weight, the color of your eyes, or your color of your skin, but he died for your soul. We all are purchased with a price. We all have different upbringing, different background. It does not matter. We are now one in the kingdom of Christ. And we have to learn to be meek to one another. Then he talked about different definition of meekness. I'll come back to this book later. So it tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, he said, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on the love, which is the bond of perfection." So it's telling us that we should have tender mercies. We should show kindness. We should show humility, meekness, suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. When you look at these qualities, who comes to mind to you? When we look at these qualities, who comes to your mind?
Christ.
And how did Christ show kindness? He showed tender mercies by coming to this world to die for our sins. He showed kindness to those who need help. To those who were sick, he healed them. He showed humility by subjecting himself to the cross of Calvary. He showed meekness. He showed long-suffering. And he showed bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Christ showed all these qualities. So when we are meek, even if our natural personality tends to be on the stronger side, we choose to yield that powerfulness and instead speak and behave with gentleness for the benefit of others. We also see an example with Paul. Paul urged the church at Ephesus to display lowliness and gentleness, to have patience and bear with one another in love. This is meekness and a worthy way of working out our faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Of course, like any good thing in life, we need to look no further than Jesus for example of meekness. The Son of God, who left his place in heaven in order to come then and dwell among us, had every right to use his almighty power as he interacted with people. He was questioned. Religious leaders tried to deceive him. He was provoked, yet he always responded with a meekness, never putting the full weight of his power at the forefront. Yes, ma'am.
When you think about what made Jesus successful, how was he able to be successful in the earth? Well, he knew himself. He was secure in the fact that he was the Son of God, and he knew his purpose. So having self-control means you have to know yourself. That's not having self-interest in an inappropriate way. That's getting to know yourself. Why do I respond this way when people say this? What do I need to be more secure in? So that when someone says something unkind or is ungrateful, I can then respond to them by either choosing to say nothing and showing appreciativeness in another way, or how can I then respond in a meek way that holds my boundary, that holds my what I feel like needs to be said, but in gentleness. So you're not being passive to where you're letting them walk all over you. But that is the definition of you have to know yourself to be able to do that. Because if you don't know yourself, you're going to respond in erratic behavior.
That's correct. Corey, do you? Oh, he's gone. Yes, sir.
Every time that Jesus showed all those things that you said, the compassion and all that, it was a symbol of showing of his strength. You have to be a very strong individual inside to be able to do all those things in meekness.
That's true. But can we do all these things? Yes. And how do we do it? How can we accomplish it if we want to do it? What are some of the things we need to do to be able to accomplish it? Go ahead. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
For me, it just goes back to having your basic worldview, that you know who God is. And then, you know, because you know who God is, you know who you are compared to God and what God has done for you. So I think when you kind of, I have to continually remind myself, because I think human nature goes contrary to that. You know, I tend to be self-important. I tend to feel aggrieved. I tend to focus on myself before I focus on other people. I just think that's my nature, so I have to keep reminding myself who I am in relation to God, what God has done for me. And then when I can keep that relationship kind of visualized, you know, and make that my basic worldview, it kind of helps to position you so that you know who you are. And then you can, you know, sort of bring that view outward in your behavior towards others.
That is correct. And God wants us to esteem others better than who?
Ourselves.
Why is that the case? You want me to esteem you better than me? He wants you to esteem your husband better than you. And your husband is going to esteem you better than himself. So when that happens, you're beginning to see a change. But in most cases, we are self-centered. We're kind of selfish. Like she said, that is just human nature. We are, if it's not in for me, then I don't have anything to do with it. But God wants us to esteem others better than ourselves. You have a comment?
Yes,
sir.
When we have those characteristics of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and while we're growing them, you know, we are esteeming others. Two other things that we can look at is, but also in the presence of God, which He wants, with our thoughts and our actions, because we're actually doing what He ask us to do, not only just to stay with the people who were being meekness to or being gentle to, but we're also doing it. It also benefits us because it's in our thoughts and it's in our actions. And it's also pleasing God. So when we do it, we mention helping others,
Thank you. I'm going to quickly, there are a couple of points I want to quickly mention before we wrap it up. Our time is going down quickly. Meekness means submitting to God. Meekness means we let go of our rights. I think we talked about this before. And in meekness, we see strength in patience. In meekness, we share the truth with love and grace. So some of the Bible passages that deal with meekness. Psalms chapter 37 verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. James chapter 1 verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James chapter 3 verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his words are done in the meekness of wisdom. We are seeing over and over again meekness. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to work worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I am weak when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent. So a meek person is often characterized by gentleness, humility, self-control, prioritizing the needs of others, and avoiding conflict. He said avoiding conflict. We have to have the interest of others ahead of our own interest. So here is something I want you to do this week. When Bohabi is not doing what he's supposed to do or he's being mean, you say, just say, remember Brother Sonny said, you have to be meek and see what the response is going to be. He said, remember what was the lesson today? Gentleness and what else? Meekness. And I do believe God wants us to be successful. But I don't think we can accomplish any of those things if we do not take the time to really go into the Word of God, to really try to grow, to develop the spirit of meekness, the spirit of long-suffering, the spirit of patience. And so these things are important. And the only way you can really grow as a Christian is to study, is to develop this kind of spirit. He said, here are some traits of somebody who is meek. He said, gentleness and humility, self-control, submissiveness, patience and forbearance, non-assertiveness, not weak, not self-pitying, teachable, not argumentative, not easily provoked, value others, seek understanding, not self-willed. Look at these characteristics, these core characteristics. By being meek does not mean that you are weak. It's not self-pitying. It's not argumentative. You know, some people, they just want to win an argument. No matter what you say, they want to have the last word. Let them have the last word if it's going to make them feel better. It doesn't mean you are weak. Let them have the last word. Seek understanding. Be kind. Be gentle. There are ways that we can present the gospel that will attract people. I do believe our character speaks volume more than anything else. The way we treat others, the way we behave around people speak volume much more than preaching the gospel. And so if you are kind to people, you are humble, you can get anything. I mean, people will do anything for you. And so when we present the gospel, we should have that same basic characteristic, principles in terms of how we present the gospel. We should be kind. We should be patient with people. Some are going to obey, some are not going to. We shouldn't take it. Sometimes I do believe we take it personal. We shouldn't take it personal. Jesus Christ preached, the apostles preached. People are sometimes are not going to listen. They're going to do what they want to do. But then we should be a light in a very dark world. And the devil wants us to fail. But at the same time, God wants us to be successful. And we are already successful. We are blessed. We are immensely blessed. I don't know about you. I feel blessed. Just standing here to be able to teach is a blessing that never in my own wildest dream that God has made it possible. And so brothers and sisters in Christ, as we end this lesson about meekness, remember, always seek understanding. And remember, always have a speech that is teachable. And remember, not to be argumentative. And remember, not to be easily provoked. And lastly, value others better than yourselves. It starts from the home. Value your spouse better than yourself. And I do believe if we have all these basic characteristics, we are going to have a peaceful home. And no matter what the devil throws at us, we are going to have the strength to deal with it. Because the Bible tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is where? In the world. And God loves you all. And I thank you for your time this morning.